Landmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Former Vice President Mike Pence now saying he will comply with a grand jury subpoena investigating Donald Trump's involvement in the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Former prosecutor Dana Perry.
It remains to be seen whether former President Trump will appeal the ruling. He certainly has the right to do that, in which case it could go up and down the court circuit. But almost certainly, former Vice President Pence will be compelled to testify at some point.
China angered and promising a response after a rare face-to-face here in the U.S. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy welcoming the president of Taiwan in Southern California. An investigation underway into the fatal stabbing of a tech executive in San Francisco. Bob Lee, 43-year-old father of two, founder of the mobile payment system Cash App, attacked on a city street yesterday, 2:30 in the morning. The suspect has not been found. A judge ruling Rupert Murdoch can be forced to testify in Dominion's billion-dollar defamation lawsuit against Fox News. This is ABC News. The White House still not commenting on former President Trump's arrest and indictment, but it is talking about his threats against the judge and prosecutor in that case.
The White House worried those comments could incite violence.
We condemn any type of attacks on any judge or our judicial system.
Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre would not comment further on the specifics of those charges against Donald Trump in New York. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
A murder mystery rocking the tech world. An entrepreneur who changed the game of online payments app was stabbed to death early Tuesday morning. The man found by San Francisco police officers 2:30 in the morning, identified as Cash App founder Bob Lee. No one's been named as a suspect. Mac Dorsey is a district supervisor for San Francisco's District 6.
In cases like this, surveillance video can be very important. People's eyewitness testimony can be very important. If you know something or are aware of something, say something.
Dave Packer, ABC News.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1. On Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal.
my way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
out of there to refrigerate molasses.
And the last one, which I've only ever bought this product when I was trying to do the 40 under 40, not the 40 under 40, the, that is the Milwaukee Business Journal. No, the Whole 30. That's what I'm thinking of, which is where you cut out like dairy.
Oh, I forgot about that fat.
Whole grains, not whole grains. You like everything. You cut out most food, and you have to cut out dairy so you don't have butter. And the replacement is something called ghee. Jane looks me bewildered.
That sounds not appetizing. That's what you wear when you're doing karate.
So it's a real bear to deal with, I guess, when it's refrigerated. So if you are a ghee fan, which is a form of clarified butter, it is okay to store at room temperature, just like your real butter, as long as you put in a little sweet butter dish from your grandmother, like we do.
I'm in no danger of eating ghee.
All right, we'll be back in a minute. We're going to talk about the Brewers and their winning streak. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Creamy peanut butter, chocolate peanut butter. Well, I went to a dinner and I went to bed. Oh, well, I took a big bite and it stuck to my teeth.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and Mr. Greg Bach is here. Now, Greg, I have been holding on to this topic since I went to the Cubs Brewers game on Saturday. You look like you're not paying attention to
I'm
the story
to everything
about to
you're
tell
saying,
you.
But I also hear you say the Cubs, so I go on. I'm listening.
Well, we won that game. I would imagine that you would have been excited.
Oh, that game. I thought you were talking about opening day.
No, I'm talking about Saturday.
Yeah.
So you're not listening.
I'm listening.
And I have to say, as much as you last Wednesday had been not very happy about the changes that are happening in Major League Baseball right now.
Yeah.
It may have just been because I was very cold at Wrigley at the game on Saturday. But I have to say, I kind of liked it.
How long was the game?
Well, we still left at the bottom of the sixth because I was so cold.
Okay, well then,
so. But started at 1:10 or 1:30? 1:10?
1:10.
I think the game was done by 4.
That's an average game. It's about 3 hours.
I'm guessing right now. I didn't time it myself, but I just felt faster.
I just, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm just, I'm 45 and as I'm not, maybe I'm not becoming more conservative with age, but I'm just becoming more just whatever. I just, I like baseball the way it is. And I don't need it to be faster. And I don't think the incremental changes, and I said it before, I don't think these small changes are going to bring hordes of fans. I just don't. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it shorter, more action-packed. Baseball is not an action-packed game. It's just not.
And I think as a person who... I would say I would never argue that I appreciate baseball and say the way that you appreciate baseball. But didn't Fancy Brian say that as a big baseball fan, that's his nickname here, that he was like, he really thought that this was the right move, right? Yeah.
Brian Kelly and Luke Mathers went to the home opener on Monday. Brian said he could absolutely tell and thought it was fabulous. And it just really kept things moving along.
Maybe.
And then we started having a discussion about the glove wrangling and the adjusting and the hit swing at the ball.
Okay, Grandpa. Jeez. Maybe I can go on their show and they can talk to me about this and kind of bring me into the light, because I don't know. It seems weird. And I really wanted to go to the home opener on Monday. I was very bummed, especially like a 10-0 blowout and then a 9-0 blowout.
Someone made that joke last night. Like, who got beat worse last night, the Mets or Dan Kelly?
Nice.
Hey-o.
Hey-o.
It's the Mets.
Which is hilarious because I follow baseball as far as the headlines that make it into not like ESPN news, but like, oh, this popped up in my newsletter of all of the news that I am reading for the day. And the fact that that billionaire hedge fund guy spent $370 million on the Mets this year, only to get smashed by our little team right out of the gate this season. I was like, well, that feels good.
Yeah, I mean, that says a lot for a team that cut their payroll by $1 million this year from last year and is still far below the MLB league average, which is about $100 million. I mean, it says a lot, the fact this is where I wanted to go. I really do. I mean, we've got Christian Yelich, and Christian Yelich is going to pop one of these days.
Oh,
we spent so much money on him, and we are going to lose Corbin Burnes because of the arbitration thing. It's just, I'm remaining optimistic, but I'm not going to be surprised by anything that happens. We're sitting at the top of the division right now, of course, but there have been 4 games played. But the fact that we beat the Cubs and we beat the Mets so handily, I mean, okay, we got some power. But then again, the Brewers always come with power in the beginning, and somewhere around the break, they're like, we're going to go to lunch, and it's going to hurt the rest of you. I'm going to make a chili, and then I'm going to make a white bean soup. Eat them all at the same time, and then try to bat. Oh, my tummy!
Well, here, I saw this on TikTok, but someone was making the argument that... I'm just going to be honest when I see things on TikTok, because I still do not want this app to go away.
That's fine.
So I'm going to be honest with the interesting information that I gather from it, which I saw someone who made an interesting point as far as the MLB thinking that these changes are what's going to bring people back to the game. And his point as a baseball watcher was like, no, it's because you make it really hard to watch baseball, in that like a lot of the cable packages you get,
yes,
you get like 27 out of the 30 teams. So you're like, but I really care about watching the Atlanta Braves. It's like, well, you don't get that one.
No.
Sorry.
That's a complaint I hear every single season. I pay for this package, I can't watch my team. I'm paying good money, I can't watch my team. That's craziness. Baseball, I'm sorry, and this is another old man opinion, if the game is sold out or above a certain amount, it should be on a station that's accessible by the people. And, I mean, listening to baseball is great on the radio, but I ain't got time for that. Like, I'll watch a game, but, like, listening on the radio, I am all over the place then. Things are happening, and I'm not listening to Bob Uecker. But, yeah, yes, it make it hard to watch it, and with every year it changes. Oh, this year it's on Bally's. This year it's on FS1. Mm-hmm. This year it's on Prime. This year, come on.
Oh, it is on Prime. Amazon bought the rights?
I think so. I think there's some baseball on it. But, like, that's the thing, is every year it's different, and every year you're asking me to shell out so much money and just to say, you can't watch this game. I want my money back. Let's get yourself a ballpark pass, friend. $37 a month. Go to every game. Go to every game.
Yeah. When's the first? So you haven't gone to a game yet?
I haven't
this
gone
season.
I'm not scheduled to go to another game until next month, but I'm going to try to get to one maybe next
well,
week.
You know that all season long, we're giving away tickets. So maybe you can listen to the show one day and call in.
No, thank you. Hey, I've started listening to the show. I just haven't bragged about it, okay? I haven't bragged about it. I texted you.
The joke being that Greg Bach does not listen to our show when he's not on it.
I texted you one day as a response to something you all said on the show. It was very sweet, I thought, and you didn't respond back. So whatever. I said you were going to make him laugh, and you made him laugh, and whatever.
Whatever. All right. When we come back, we have a guest here who is going to talk to us about his new book. James Bastian is here. We're going to talk about Willa's Pursuit. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
We've got heart. We've got heart. Miles and miles and miles of heart. Oh, it's fine to be a genius, of course. But keep that old horse before the car.
Who minds them pop bottles flying?
The hisses and boos.
The team has been consistent.
Yeah, we always lose.
But we're laughing cause we've got high. We've got high.
WAUK.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Former Vice President Mike Pence now saying he will comply with a grand jury subpoena investigating Donald Trump's involvement in the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Former prosecutor Dana Perry.
It remains to be seen whether former President Trump will appeal the ruling. He certainly has the right to do that, in which case it could go up and down the court circuit. But almost certainly, former Vice President Pence will be compelled to testify at some point.
China angered and promising a response after a rare face-to-face here in the U.S. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy welcoming the president of Taiwan in Southern California. An investigation underway into the fatal stabbing of a tech executive in San Francisco. Bob Lee, 43-year-old father of two, founder of the mobile payment system Cash App, attacked on a city street yesterday, 2:30 in the morning. The suspect has not been found. A judge ruling Rupert Murdoch can be forced to testify in Dominion's billion-dollar defamation lawsuit against Fox News. This is ABC News.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid.
Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake?
No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development?
Nuh-uh.
You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1. On Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you...
and you could be me?
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
I am a logger and my life is quite fine. I spent my years with the spruce and the pine. The ground that I walk on is the boom and the log. I know the cant, hook, pike, pole, and chain dog.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Metnair. We got Greg Bach here. And our guest for this segment is Wisconsin resident and author Jim Bastian, who is here to talk about his new book, Willa's Pursuit, which is a historical fiction novel, and the sequel to his first book, Wisconsin Logging Camp, thus the music. What was that song, Jane?
I am a logger.
I am a logger.
Yes.
We were very in sync with our swaying. Jim, we missed out. You'll have to sway with us on the way out. But welcome to the show, Jim.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoy the show. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you here. So let's start with the first book. Since Willa's Pursuit is a sequel, what is the premise of Wisconsin Logging Camp 1921? And how much of it is just baked into the title?
Well, the book is a historical fiction, as you referenced, and it deals with Wisconsin logging in 1920, and it follows the family of two immigrant families, one from Poland and one from England. And it is, I would say, 92% history. I originally started to write a history. That's what I wanted to write, and it was the catalyst to get me interested in writing and a historical book had to do with an article from an old Eau Claire newspaper in which the editor wrote about three loggers and a boy finding a petrified body in the woods. Well, I thought, who is this guy? What's he doing there? And as I started researching, there wasn't any information. Well, actually, I wrongly interpreted that as great news because it meant there was a void in the historical record that I would be about to fill. So I went on a decades-long pursuit of researching who is this guy in the woods. With the advent of the internet, I disappointingly learned it was a hoax.
He needed
2 inches to fill. So I had this volume of research about logging. I had the payroll records. I was trying to track down the boy. I thought he was the best bet, since this was from the 1920s and 30s, that he might be still kicking and I would be able to get an interview with him anyway. But it ended up being about a boy, because I had discovered that there were boys that rarely but periodically worked in logging camps. They were called chickadees, and they would scrape the residue from the horses that were on the ice trails and whatnot to make sure that when the loggers went out into the woods, that the sleds slid without impediments. So the book is about a chickadee. A 7-year-old boy immigrates from Germany and ends up as an orphan in the north woods of Wisconsin. And while that sounds like a reach, it's actually based on true stories. And so it's an aggregate of snippets of immigrant families put together. And I didn't take the snippets to exaggerate. I took the snippets to coincide time and place. So it wasn't just this short story after short story. It was an aggregate of their experiences. And I didn't have enough time. There was too much information to have the search for the body in the same book. And so Willa's Pursuit is actually the culmination of that search. And Willa's Pursuit, although she doesn't know it when she starts, is about looking for the guy.
So, but then it I'm assuming, place, oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it takes place 40 years later, well, 50 years later, it's now 1970. And the sequel is Willa's father is the boy from book number one. So we're following the same family. They both take place in Wisconsin. So we're dealing with the same historical context, but different timelines, same family.
We're talking to Jim Bastian about his newest book and his first book, Willow's Pursuit. And then the first book is Wisconsin Logging Camp, 1921. So it sounds like so much historical research done for the first book. But then if you fast forward to the 1970s for the second book, what is the historical, what was the research that went into putting everything into context for that period?
I really like having rich content, and history supplies that. So rather than have to make things up, I rather just apply the rich historical context. Well, 1971 in Madison, Wisconsin, Madison was a flashpoint of the Vietnam War mm-hmm. protests. If you remember, Sterling Hall was blown up. Society was trending quickly from June Cleaver and Betty Crocker to sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And Madison was a big part of that process. And so there's a lot going on. So to plunk our protagonist into that environment seemed like it really could enrich the content and give me an opportunity to bring in that historical component. The second part of it that I found of interest that has the strong foothold in reality is psychology. I was a former high school psychology teacher. I have no credentials beyond an undergraduate degree in psychology, like 40% of college graduates, but I have an interest. And so I pulled together, that interest has allowed me to do some poking around. And Madison was also a part of the fundamental change in the field of psychology, from Freud, Jung, from Adler, to the behavioralists, Harlow, B.F. Skinner, and experimental psychology. Well, our protagonist, Willa, the daughter of the boy from book one, is a graduate student in psychology in Madison in 1971, and she takes part in an experiment, and it's a risky experiment, and she has a traumatic experience from it. And so that brings all of those pieces together. In fact, the traumatic experience she has is a Harry Harlow experiment on sensory deprivation. And you might remember from your Psych 101 days, so your listeners will, where you have the two baby rhesus monkeys. One is clinging to a wire mesh form, and the other is clinging to a wire mesh form covered with terry cloth. And what that was Harlow's groundbreaking research on sensory deprivation, and found that the baby monkey that was clinging to just the wire mesh had social deprivation development issues and brain development shortcomings, whereas the monkey that was clinging to the terry cloth had more normal development. Well, that's the impact of even modest changes in sensory deprivation. Well, enterprising researchers weren't going to let it go at that. And so they wondered, golly, I wonder what would happen to graduate students if we completely blocked off their sensory deprivation, completely blocked off their senses. And they were plunged into tanks of water, blindfolded with tanks and wetsuits and whatnot. And what they found is that the brain doesn't like it very much when it can't distinguish between reality and what's going on in your head. And some students who underwent that experiment had some bad experiences. Willa is one of them.
It's funny because I feel like people pay for that these days. Aren't there like deprivation tanks that people pay a lot of money to go like float in water in the dark?
I flew to Dubai and paid some guy to just cut off my senses.
Didn't Aaron Rodgers essentially just do this?
No, he did ayahuasca and he's immunized from everything.
No.
Similar principle, he went into a dark room. But you're exactly right.
I've been in a dark room.
But there's a huge difference between sensory decrease and total sensory deprivation.
Okay.
It's the difference between going into a pitch black auditorium and your brain is trying to figure things out, and then light a single candle in a corner of the auditorium. That small increase in perception makes all the difference in the world. And the tanks that people are spending a lot of money on to submerge themselves in are really sensory reduction experiences, not sensory deprivation in its entirety.
Got it. All right. Well, so then in total, between the initial research when you thought that the story about the boy was real, to the release of Willow's Pursuit, which was April 15th is when it's coming out?
Yes, it's out now, actually.
Oh, it's available. It's out now. And so how long have you been working on these stories?
Well, the original story that I read was from a Wisconsin conservation magazine published in 1978. I think I read it maybe in 81. That's what sparked the research that began with the logging. So it's been a long time.
Wow.
So when people say, well, how long does it take you to write a book? Well, 5 decades?
Really. I'll tell you how long it takes to write two
in
books.
In this case, it did.
Wow. So this was something that sparked your interest. And at this point, because you've done a lot of different things. You've been a high school teacher, as you said. Then you went out and got your MBA and you worked in business. And so was this always kind of in the back of your head, even as you were having different careers?
It was really a lot of interest in it. And the more I looked into it, even after the disappointment of finding out that this article that prompted the initial investigation was a hoax, these immigrant family experiences, particularly as it pertains to the state of Wisconsin, was so interesting to me that I continued to do background research. For example, what I was unaware of, so northern Wisconsin was cut over of the pines, and people were then, in 1920, they were beginning to log the hardwoods. Well, there were millions of acres of cut over land with no value. They're huge tree stumps and rocks. Well, enterprising realtors went to Europe following World War I when these immigrants are getting on boats to come here to sell them farms. And they would prepay for these farms, and they'd show them brochures of the beautiful farms. Well, what they were buying was 40 or 80 acres of stumps and rocks. Oh, so these poor folks showing up here having prepaid. Now, these are destitute people prepaying for these properties, and there were no refunds.
Yeah.
Some would only require 50% down. Regardless, this is buyer's remorse on steroids when you get there and look at your farm. And, you know, you're going to dig up stumps that are the size of a bed and without a tractor. And you have hundreds of them, and then to plant your farm. Also, there isn't a woods to cut down to build your farmhouse with. And there are communities in northern Wisconsin, Little Croatia, and there's some others that escape me at the moment, that are entire communities from that originated with immigrants from that country that came here and got hoodwinked in buying this land. So it was an unscrupulous beginning that brought many of these immigrants to northern Wisconsin. That's just one instance.
And Jim, it must have just been, everything must have been so hard just because of the time period that it happened in. And, you know, like you said, not having a tractor, maybe you couldn't even afford a horse. Everything must have just been such a struggle to even survive.
Well, that's really an insightful comment. And we often don't think of our ancestors as having gone through that. But when you think of the devastation of World War I, you have tens of millions of young men killed, which means tens of millions of widows and orphans. You have Europe completely devastated. And think of the farms and the villages and whatnot. So you have destitute people, children whose educations were stopped in their tracks for 3 or 4 years or more. Well, if you're a second grader and lose 4 or 5 years of your education, you've lost a lot. So you had people that were coming here without that value of education, destitute, and then you have the Spanish flu pandemic that they're greeted to when they get here. There also was social transformation occurring from Victorian and Edwardian to the Roaring Twenties. They're in that same, that's one reason I was attracted to these two time frames, because they were transformational.
So as far as with the 2 minutes we have left, Jim, what kind of, like, if you like this book, they will like your book. So what kind of reading or reader do you think would really appreciate Willow's Pursuit and Wisconsin Logging 1921?
Well, anyone who is interested in history light. They don't want to know names, dates, and places. But if the history is there and it's a part of the story, you learn as you go, and it's painless. Anyone who would have been interested in reading Red Badge of Courage or Tom Sawyer would really enjoy the first one, which has a young boy who is going through those kind of trials and tribulations. Anyone interested in the paranormal might be interested in Willow's Pursuit, because her traumatic experience is actually triggered, it triggers a a very extraordinary experience.
Awesome. Well, we will put both of those links for both books on our show notes for today. Jim, thank you so much for joining us today. They both sound super interesting.
Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed the time with you.
Absolutely. Have a great day. All right, we'll be back in just a minute to talk about who's at Laughing Tap this weekend.
With the great and the small. If you wish to join us, we'll find you the room. We'll strike up the fiddle if you sing the tune.
Weather brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese and Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop.
Home of buttery popcorn treats that make your mouth water.
Caramel, cookies and cream, strawberry shortcake and more. civicmedia.us/shop.
Part of the proceeds benefit Wisconsin athletic programs.
Make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said be an actor, my son. But be a comical one. They'll be standing in lines for those old...
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. He is Greg Bach. Greg Bach!
Yes.
Who's at the Laughing Tap this weekend?
Your mom. Boom! Comedy!
She's been at the Laughing Tap before, but not on stage.
No, but it was lovely to have her there.
Yeah,
and
she had
you,
fun.
You and Mike. Amir Kay is here.
Okay.
This weekend. Five shows. This is a big one.
That's a big lineup.
Yeah. It's a show on Thursday, two on Friday, two on Saturday. Amir Kay has been on Mad TV. He's done Just for Last Comedy Festival, which is the oldest, biggest comedy festival.
Have you ever gone to Just for Last Comedy Festival?
As a performer?
No. In general.
Thanks.
No, I haven't gone as a performer. I went for fun, and it was awesome.
I've never gone. I would like to go one day, but someday I will go. Very funny. We have a clip?
We do have a clip.
Yes.
Sometimes I thought that, too. I was like, I wish Doogie could talk, and then I rethought it, and I'm like, dude, he's so needy. There's no way. He's so needy! If Doogie could talk, and he had a cell phone... I'd leave the house for 5 minutes. I'd check my voicemail. It'd be like, you have 30 new voice messages. Boop. Hey, what's going on? It's me, Doogie. Listen, I know you said we're going for a walk. I just kind of wanted to touch base and see what time you were thinking. Go ahead and give me a call back. I'm at home. Boop. Hey, it's me again. Listen, have you seen my red ball? Yeah, you don't know what we take to the park? Can't seem to find her. Anyways, no big deal. Call me when you can. Boop. The Amazon packages are here. Boop.
hey, you're not going to want to go in the living room. I couldn't hold it. Boop, I found the ball, hell yeah! Boop. I'm just kidding, it's me, Doogie.
You guys let me do that way too long. Thank you so much!
I'm not kidding you. The what precedes that discussion is like another minute and a half, and it's all hilarious. It's just him talking. The whole set basically is him talking about being an Iranian-born individual who now lives in America to his dog. And it's so funny. It's
yeah.
so wonderful. And I'm so looking forward to having him. I can't wait to meet him. He just seems like a real cool guy. And I there's nothing better than having really cool people performing at the club.
And I have to say, he has the best set of hair I think I've yeah. ever seen in my entire
really?
His hair, oh my his hair God. Is gorgeous, and I'm not going to lie, a little jealous, will be a little standoffish at first as I stare at his locks, and then I'll warm up. His hair is amazing.
Yeah. Oh, I just looked it up.
Wow.
It does look. It's very good. Very good hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
So five shows. How any sold out? Where are the tickets looking
are still
right now?
Available.
Tickets are still available. Yep.
So go to laughingtap.com.
Best deal in town.
Seriously, $20 a show, no drink minimums. You're getting to laugh with three amazing comics.
Who are the other two comics?
Kate Kincaid, who I've actually never seen personally, but is vouched for by our feature, who is Sohrab Farouzesh. And then Amir Kay. So it's a host, feature, and headliner.
It's a good lineup.
It's a great lineup. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
So I love comedy.
I love comedy. What's
Christopher Walken? I don't know what you were doing.
We were doing something, but I was like, I don't know what we're going for.
Put
right
your hands
now.
Up. No.
Didn't Pedro Pascal do some kind of weird voice when he was on SNL recently? That was funny.
Yes, it was. Nah, I can't do that.
What was the premise?
The premise is he wakes up from a coma and that's his personality.
Oh gosh.
So if you watch that clip, that sketch, then watch his interview with Seth Meyers the following week, it's so wonderful.
And he does it again,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're talking about, oh, my God. It sounds like a Valley Girl walk-in. Oh, my God.
And if staying on the Pedro Pascal
theme. Let's just always stay on him.
Came across my Twitter feed, Pedro Pascal as mushrooms. So there's a picture of Pedro Pascal in a blue shirt and pants, and then next to him is a blue mushroom that actually looks like what he's wearing.
Yeah.
All tied into The Last of Us and the fungi and all that. It's hilarious.
They did another one too where he was wearing an outfit, and I think they compared him to a duck. If you watch the Pedro Pascal Oscar Isaac autocomplete interview.
Okay.
I
heard it's really good. You've told me this before.
Oh my God, for the soul. I watch it once a week. It makes it feel so good. Yes, laughingtap.com. Amir K this weekend, five shows. Please come on down. We'd love to, excuse me, I'm getting a little emotional here. No, I just have a cough. We'd love to see you down there, and we're going to have a great time. So
sounds fun.
It is fun. You're fun.
You're fun. And this show was fun.
And it's Easter weekend, too.
I always forget about that. Going to go see John Wick on Sunday.
That is your penance.
Well, it's Bridget's birthday on Friday, and it's a weekend of birthday activities. And because I can't be there on Saturday, I'm driving them all on Friday. They're going to drive around to breweries and do their thing. And then on Sunday, it's going to be me and her doing brunch, go see John Wick, and then probably go home and fall asleep.
I referred to it as a blood ballet and was told that is an accurate description.
I heard it's the best one of all four.
Oh.
I'm holding back judgment. We'll see. But
favorite of the three?
The first one. I really do. I mean, you've got the great, like, I feel like what happened with that movie is that, or those movies, is that he made this great movie and then all of a sudden it was very popular. They said, we want a sequel. And then he's like, oh, I got to make a universe now with all this extra stuff, which is fine. And it's not bad. It's just, it didn't look like a movie conceived in the idea of, oh, I'm going to build this like 10 movie universe where blah,
blah, blah. But isn't there an argument that Star Wars is the same?
How do you mean? Weigh your words carefully.
Well, I am not enough of a Star Wars nerd to know what is true or not true. But didn't it start as, I mean, it's not like George Lucas had this entire universe plotted out before he wrote the first script.
Yes, he did.
I've heard conflicting.
It started in a thing called the Journal of the Wills, which is the prequel.
You have 1.5 minutes before this show ends.
No, we're going over. FCC, do something. I don't care. There's definitely some things out there that were not planned, but he conceived the first trilogy as three movies. You see A New Hope in the theaters in 77. It's not called A New Hope. It's called Star Wars. It wasn't until Empire they renamed it. But then there was always the thing of the next three. And he's like, I'm not going to make those. And then he's like, I'm going to make those. And then they're like, we'll make three more. And people are like, please stop already.
We are going to table this for next week.
Oh, yeah.
And bore anyone who's not a Star Wars fan, potentially, because I have a lot of follow-up questions to what you just said. And I'm going to do my research in between.
I can't wait.
But you'll have to come back tomorrow to hear about the coffee that makes you poop, because we never got to that Starbucks story.
Doesn't
but
our coffee
I kind of
make you poop?
And I think coffee in general does, mm-hmm. but apparently when you add olive oil, extra, more so, even more so. Well, this was a super fun show today. It flew by. Thank you to Joe Zepecki, who was here for the first hour. Greg Bach, always love having you here. Thank you to everyone who called. We had a ton of callers today.
Lots
we had a
of
ton
texts.
Of texts. It's always more fun when you are engaged and you are having your voice heard on the show. So keep it up. And for now, we're going to go on with our Hump Day Wednesday and be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Make them laugh. Make them laugh. Make them laugh. Make them laugh. Make them laugh.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer.